Hey, all you nostalgic sisters.
Welcome to 90210 Here We Go, the podcast that takes a look at each episode of the Beverly Hills 90210 franchise from Fox to the CW.
One of us is a 90210 expert and the other is a 90210 novice.
I'm Kendra Mickles and I'm seeing these episodes for the first time.
I'm Nick Gunning and I've seen them all.
Our show is brought to you by the Radio Meanwhile Network. Other shows on the network include 90s Music Got Me Like, This Endorian Life, and previously on X-Men. You can follow all the shows at Radio Meanwhile on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Please rate, subscribe, and share the show wherever you get your podcasts.
Today we're discussing Beverly Hills 90210 Season 8, Episode 9, Friends, Lovers, and Children.
A title I still don't like.
Don't fully get, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right.
You're like, what's in this episode?
Yeah. Well, there are friends.
All right, let's check out the Beverly Beat.
We guarantee the Beverly Beat is the best advertising you'll ever get.
This episode originally aired November 5th, 1997. One birthday, November 8th, Jessica Lowndes, who plays Adriana Tate Duncan in the CW years, turned 9.
Such a fun age.
Movies, November 7th, Starship Troopers, based on the Robert Heinlein novel, is released. The movie starred Casper Van Dien and featured 90210 alums Dinah Mayer, Denise Richards, and Denise Dowse.
Wow.
What a movie that is.
I know. I guess we have to watch that for this show.
I've seen it. Have you not seen it?
I've read the book, but I've never seen the movie.
Oh. The movie's... I mean, it is what it is.
There's a lot of them, right? I mean, there's a lot of like sequels and stuff.
Are there? I've only seen the first one.
I think so. Yeah. Okay.
November 11th, Beauty and the Beast, The Enchanted Christmas was released direct-to-video. This midquel featured many cast members reprising their roles, including Paige O'Hara, Angela Lansbury, and Jerry Orbach. It also featured Tim Curry as the villainous pipe organ Forte. Scared
watched the crap out of me. Well, I mean, it's Tim Curry, so, you know.
That organ is terrifying.
It is a scary organ. Yeah, it is. It is. Did you watch this a lot? I had a regular, it was like a Christmas thing. I still have some of the songs from this on like my Christmas mix. So, yeah.
I don't know if I remember any of the songs, but we did watch this a lot. TV, November 4th, My Classic Car, hosted by Dennis Gage, debuted on TNN. Despite switching networks 4 times, it's still going at time of recording.
Wow.
I've never even heard of it.
Wow. Cars that were like new when this show started, they now can feature as classic cars on season 30.
November 4th, Over the Top, a short-lived sitcom starring Tim Curry
and
Eddie Potts, is aired its final episode.
I don't know. Like I saw that and I looked into this and I think it only aired like 3 episodes. I don't know why I remembered this show so well. But I do. Maybe because like I loved Clue with Tim Curry and I love Designing Women with Annie Potts, but he's like an old soap opera actor who shows up at this hotel that his ex-wife Annie Potts runs. It was super fun, but it was like 3 episodes. So what are you going to do?
Have we talked about that my introduction to Tim Curry was Muppet Treasure Island?
Oh, yeah. I mean, mine probably would have been Home Alone 2. I can't imagine that I saw Clue before I saw Home Alone 2. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Music, November 11th, Lisa Loeb released her Grammy-nominated album, Firecracker. It was certified gold and featured the single, I Do, which hit number 1 in Canada.
Oh.
I love that song.
Oh, really? I would probably know it if I heard it.
I didn't know who Lisa Loeb was until we started doing our 90s podcast.
Oh, really? That's funny.
Yeah. Higher Ground by Barbra Streisand was released also on November 11th. It was her 8th number 1 album in the U.S., sold over 5 million copies.
Not too shabby, Babs.
Pretty good. Books. Best-selling books for the week of November 2nd. In fiction, we had Cold Mountain by Charles Frazier.
I read
this in school.
Did you? Oh, okay.
Yeah, this was like in my English class. We read this
Interesting.
Book.
Okay.
I loved it. I've never seen the movie, though.
No, me neither.
For nonfiction, Diana in Her Own Words, edited by Andrew Morton.
I mean, that makes sense, given the time frame that we're in. So,
have you been following all the stuff about people freaking out about where Kate Middleton is?
Yes. Yeah. All the weird Photoshops and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. All right, Nick, take us beyond the zip code.
I will, but this was one you spotted in the wild, so you get credit for it.
I was very excited.
In 1996, Nicholas Pryor, who we know as Chancellor Arnold, co-starred as Secretary of State Jack Douglas in the Kurt Russell Halle Berry thriller Executive Decision. When terrorists seize control of an airliner, an intelligence analyst accompanies a commando unit for a mid-air boarding operation. Sounds intense.
Yes. We put this on. I was in the mood for like a 90s thriller a la Face Off, Kindergarten Cop kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this is what we landed on.
Okay.
And we're like 20 minutes in and I'm like, I know this dopey face. Where do I know this person from? And then it hit me. It was Chancellor Arnold. I would say it was worth the watch if you're looking for a 90s thriller.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. David Suchet is the bad guy. And he's, you know, he never phones it in with anything he does. So, and Steven Seagal is in it. And yeah, it's just, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. You know, my wife and I just watched one called Air Force One Down, which is not made in the 90s, but it sure wished it was. And it was a lot of fun. It was about, you know, a secret service agent, like on her first day, ends up being the one like stuck with the president when Air Force One gets taken down. It was Catherine McNamara who played like Mia Queen in the Arrow series, which you probably haven't gotten that far.
Oh, yes.
But it was good. It really, I mean, I don't know if I would say it was good. Maybe that's the wrong word, but it was very fun and entertaining, and she was cool in it. The action was very good.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know who else was in it? John Leguizamo was in it, and from Jurassic Park, the scientist, why can't I think of his
name? Oh, B.D. Wong.
B.D. Wong was in it.
Yeah. Okay.
A lot of people in it. Anyway, let's look at our synopsis for Friends, Lovers, and Children. Oh, good gracious. When I read this synopsis before I watched it, I was just like, what is happening? Brandon and Kelly run into a teenage prostitute who just happens to be Dylan's long-lost sister, Erica. Remember Erica? Little girl Erica? Ugh. The rescue efforts begin, but Erica has different plans. Meanwhile, Donna is on to David, who doubles down on his bad decisions by seeking out a loan shark. Finally, Brandon learns the truth about Noah's wealthy family, and Brenda is still in London.
Yeah,
we mentioned her a lot.
Confirmation that Brenda's still in London. I can't hide my distaste for this storyline. I think it's
crazy.
Stupid. It doesn't make any sense. Like, that's clearly not... I mean, it's a recast, obviously, but like, just... no way are these two the same character. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. And also, if you're going to do this plot line, which don't, it has to be a Valerie story. Because Valerie was the one with the relationship. Valerie was the one who went down and rescued her and all that stuff.
Yeah, and they allude to it, but they don't really, like, get into it.
And if you remember, this was during the whole, like, Dylan has just chosen Kelly, but Kelly is not gelling with Suzanne or with Erica. Erica liked Brenda. Erica then later liked Valerie. And Kelly was never, like, connected, and neither was Brandon. So to have them be the ones, when Valerie's right there, I just thought, like, everything's stupid. So.
Everything is stupid.
I've just tipped my hand, but that's how I feel.
All right. Who's living in Beverly Hills?
Today's episode is directed by Michael Ray Rhodes. This is the first of four episodes that he'll direct. He also directed Dark Angel, Star Trek The Next Generation, and Little House on the Prairie. Written by John Welpley. Just two returning players this time, Miles Jeffrey as Zach Reynolds, Fatima Lowe as Terry Spar. We have new recurring players, including Nancy Moonves as Pam. She'll recur in Season 8 and come back in Season 10 as someone else. Also, she was in Charmed and Seventh Heaven. Here we have Jonna Stewart Bowden as Erica, who is taking over from Nolie Thornton, who we last saw in Season 5. So it's been 3 years.
Yeah, and she is this, you know, old.
Totally different. I'm going to, like, people are going to take issue with this. I'm going to say this is our first major recast. Because I know we've had, like, the parents, you know, like, pretty much all of the parents changed. We had a few different Jack McKays. You know, we had a different Jackie Taylor. We had a different Felice Martin, whose name wasn't even Felice. But I feel like Nolie Thornton was really settled into Erica. She did a lot of episodes. And then to then switch and be like, it's her now, is very soap opera-y, but just really hard to
get past. Was a good thing they told us, because
yeah,
we wouldn't have known.
It just doesn't make sense for the character development and where she left off that she would go from what we'd seen her to be to this in 3 years. Is just,
it's crazy.
Wild. So anyway, she's here. We'll see her for a couple episodes. She was a regular voice actor in season 2 of Back to the Future, the animated series, and recurred on Pacific Blue. We have Jessica Collins as Jody, who I knew from Lois and Clark. But she also played Linus Paris in Star Trek Voyager, and then shows like The Young and the Restless and Apple's Acapulco, which I could never really get into.
That's what I recognized her from.
Okay.
I was just thinking about that show literally yesterday. I was like, wait, we should go back to that show.
I know. I never finished it. I liked it, and I didn't. I never really, yeah. What did you recognize her from? Oh, it was just Acapulco.
Yeah.
Just that. Okay. Yeah, she's one of those people, especially in the 90s, I feel like she was all around. Another character that we're just dropping out of nowhere, by the way, just being like, yeah, she's got some history that we just didn't
see. I know,
see,
I was so I confused. Guess.
Yeah, very odd. Anyway, Dirk Blocker as Dan the Bartender. Did you recognize him as Hitchcock from Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
I didn't. I like looked it up later because I was like, who is that?
Yeah.
His beard and like...
Yeah, the beard, the dark hair.
How young he is. Yeah,
so funny.
It was really funny.
We have Robert Torti as Everett. He was Kurt on the Zack and Cody shows on the Disney Channel. I knew him as Freddie Fredrickson on That Thing You Do. Also, Kendra, here's something we share. He was Pharaoh in that ultra-pervy Joseph the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Donny Osmond.
Oh!
Yeah. Yes.
You know, the whole time I was like, I know this guy.
Yeah.
I know that I know him, but I could not figure it out.
Yep.
It is pervy, but I love it.
No,
so
I do too. I do too. But the narrator. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Then we have Vincent Irizarry as Riggs. This man was in every soap opera that's ever been made. Like, I think he missed Dark Shadows, and that's probably it. He was in Santa Barbara, Guiding Light, One Life to Live, Young and the Restless, All My Children, Days of Our Lives, and The Bold and the Beautiful. And not like he just popped in for once. He did, like, stints on all of these shows. Crazy.
Back to Robert Torti. He is Zack and Cody's dad, who's, like... not really in the picture, but he pops in everywhere. Because I watched The Suite Life of Zack and Cody, so I definitely recognize him from.
Okay.
That's funny.
Then we have Eric Weiss as Wally. He previously played Herbert Barnes on Melrose Place. Hmm. That's our cast.
Okay. Here we go.
All right.
I'm so excited, if you can't tell. All right, so we start at Carly's house. Steve and Carly have just arrived back from a date, and Zach and Grandma are asleep and snoring, and Steve and Carly start to get a little busy, but then Zach wakes up because of the snoring, and so Carly has to, you know, get him back to bed, and Zach confirms that Steve will be taking him to the soccer game the next day.
I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah, to which Steve says yes.
And did they ever go to Magic Mountain? That's what I want to know. Did it ever happen?
Surely they did.
All right.
The day they were going to go was like the last day of the season before it closed. So Steve decides to head out and, you know, let her help with Zach. But they are very, like, they've upgraded to, like, super canoodly, kissy. Like, they're in that phase.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly and Brandon are driving around and they've like missed their turn. So they're taking the scenic route, as Brandon says. And when they stop at a light, they look over and they're like, oh, hookers on the street. Look at those hookers.
Yeah.
And then they start to drive away. But Kelly tells Brandon to stop and back up because the one girl standing nearest to their car, she was like, I'm pretty sure that's Erica, like Dylan's sister.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it is.
It's Erica Dylan's sister.
As soon as Erica... this doesn't make sense, because wouldn't Erica recognize them? I mean, they haven't changed.
Right, yeah.
Like, wouldn't she be like, oh, that's Kelly.
It's Brandon and Kelly, yeah.
Yeah.
But they didn't have a ton of interaction. She should recognize Kelly, but...
Yeah, I think so. So, as soon as she recognizes them, she, like, takes off running. She's like completely freaked out. Brandon chases her down and like corners her in this alley and is like, calm down. It's us. Like, what's going on? But she basically just pushes past them and runs away and tells them to leave her alone. At the teen outreach center the next day, Brandon and Kelly are talking with Pam about finding Erica. And Pam is no nonsense.
Mm-mm.
She's like, she's on crack. She's a drug addict. She's lost in cause. Trouble and we'll find her.
Yeah. She said something about her and Kelly working for the same foundation. So I guess this is another organization under the banner of this mysterious foundation. Kelly.
Yes.
Yeah. Isaac Asimov's foundation.
Yeah. So that's how they got in touch with Pam. And they're, you know, they're very confused. They're like, you know, she was such a sweet girl. And Pam's like, she was a sweet girl, but now she's on the streets. But Pam, you know, thinks they're going to find her. So hopefully they do.
Yeah, hopefully.
And we also learned that they called Brenda when they, you know, after they saw Erica. And Brenda said that she had been living in Hawaii with Dylan's mom. And then she hooked up with a guy. How old is she? 15? Is that how she? Oh, she's supposed to be 16?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. She hooked up with this guy who she followed back to LA and then he like dumped her. And now this is what she's doing.
Why did they call Brenda and not Dylan? Like they couldn't get a hold of Dylan? I don't feel like they even addressed why they didn't talk to Dylan directly.
Yeah.
If you're just making it up, just say, yeah, I just got off the horn with Dylan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Valerie goes to see Noah on the boat, but he doesn't want to talk to her. He's done. He's like, you've made mistakes and now you got to live with your mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She's like, Cooper meant nothing and it was a mistake. And she tries to be all seductive. She's like, you can't throw away what we have. And she tries to go in for a kiss. And at first it seems like Noah's going to give in. But then he's like, no, it's Forget over.
It. Whatever we had is dead.
And he says something about like burying what we have. And she says, ooh, that's what you do best, bury people.
That was like too far by about 1,000.
The lowest blow possible.
Truly, I can't imagine her saying something worse to him. All because she's mad at him because he doesn't want to date her since she's been cheating on him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Woo, Valerie.
At the Peach Pit After Dark, Dan, the bartender, who we've never seen before. Am I correct?
Correct. You are correct. Okay. Yeah.
He's working and David's like, hey, man, you're doing a great job, but I can't pay you anymore. So you're going to have to like find a new job.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan's like, well, hey, I know this guy. He gives out private loans. It's like a really high interest rate. But if you pay it back immediately, it's, you know, it's a good deal.
Yeah.
And he says that he'll set up a meeting for David. Donna arrives and says that Vanessa Markley recommended Donna for another styling job. But the location fell through. So she recommended that they come do this photo shoot at the club.
After dark.
Yes. And David's very excited about that because he'll get paid for them using the club. Steve takes Zach to his soccer game and very awkwardly realizes it is a father-son soccer game.
Yeah. Yep, sure is.
Which, I mean, whoever the coach is needs to, like, know his players, I would say.
Yeah, invest in your team a little bit. Jeez.
So, you know, is Jerry the coach? I don't know who Jerry is.
Let's
say
yes.
He's like, hey, you're Zach's dad. And Steve kind of goes along with it because he can see that Zach really wants him to do this. And so he goes along with it. And I guess, it's a father-son game?
I guess Steve's like playing?
Steve is playing, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
They give him a jersey.
Right.
We don't see the game. Mm-mm. But yeah. At the Peach Pit, Carly is talking to a woman at the bar. And the way they introduce her, you would think we knew her name. We had seen her before.
Yeah.
But we don't know who this person is.
No,
serving her, and they're making conversation about how Carly is a single mom and doesn't have any help, even though she has her mom who babysits for her all the time.
Right.
And the woman said, you know, Carly asked the woman if she's okay. And she says, no, I just have some things I'm dealing with. And I thought coming here would help, but it hasn't helped. Mm-hmm. And so she leaves.
Mm-hmm.
On the streets, Pam and Brandon and Kelly are looking for Erica. So they approach a male prostitute.
Oh.
Pam's like, this guy knows people.
Yeah.
She knows the streets, Pam. And they give him, Brandon gives him some money, and he says that he recognizes the picture of Erica, but he doesn't know where she is, or he doesn't tell him anything more than that. So as they're talking, what's the pimp's name? Riggs. Comes out of this store and interjects into the conversation, and he says he recognizes Erica, but she's gone. She doesn't want to be found, so stop looking for her. Kelly keeps pushing Riggs for information. She's like, you know where she is. Take us to her. And he insults Kelly, so Brandon pushes him, and then Riggs pulls a knife.
Which, like, did Brandon learn nothing from the shooting of, like,
what I thought. I was like, we're following this pimp down an alley.
I know.
And then you're going to push him.
And then, so Brandon, like, exacerbates the situation. The pimp pulls a knife, again. And now they're in danger again. And it's not even addressed. Nobody's like, we gotta stop doing this, you know? Like, really got to stop, you know? It's not even part of it. It's very frustrating.
So Riggs goes back to the storefront, and we see Erica come out of the store and go with him.
Mm-hmm.
But Brandon and Kelly come out of the alley, like, after they've already left, so they don't see Erica.
Yep.
Back at the Peach Pit, Carly apologizes to Steve for, you know, the whole father-son game thing. She was like, I didn't know that it was going to be that way. And Steve is just, like, being really weird about
it. It just freaked him out. I think he just, you know.
Yes.
Just a lot for him.
Yeah, I guess. But he's been this, like, buddy father figure to Zach for many episodes now. So I don't know why this would freak him out so much.
I feel like it just got too real, maybe. And he just.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. And he's like, you know. And he even said to Zach, he's like, Zach, you know I'm not your dad, right? And he's like, I'm not his dad. And Carly can sense that, like, something is different between her and Steve now. Like, something has changed.
Yes.
At the Beverly Beat, Valerie, out of the goodness of her heart, stops by to bring food for the staff.
Oh, so nice.
And Brandon's like, you just happen to be in the neighborhood to bring us food. And she's like, why is everyone so suspicious of me all the time? And he says, because you've earned it.
Yeah.
Which is accurate.
It's true. It's very true.
And then she whines about Noah and the whole Noah situation. And
yes.
Why did she do this? And blah, blah, blah. At the Peach Pit After Dark, the photo shoot is going very well. Donna is in her element. She's pulling all the right outfits.
Yeah.
Doing a great job. Kelly and Donna have a little talk about the whole Erica situation.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly fills Donna in. Donna is making David kind of stay out of the way so he doesn't get involved in the photo shoot. So he's just, like, up in his office watching. And Donna tells Kelly that she is planning a very spicy night for her and David.
Yeah.
She's like, things have been weird lately and, you know, it's been tough. And so we're going to have a fancy dinner and I'm buying some new lingerie and it's going to get hot.
Woo.
So take off all your clothes. Dan tells David that he got a meeting with the loan shark.
Great.
And it's supposed to be that night. And David's like, I'm going out with Donna. I can't meet him. Like, can't you ask him to meet a different night?
Mm-hmm.
And Dan's pretty much like, you know, he's doing you a favor. Like, this is a big deal. Don't blow this guy off.
This is the night, Chief.
Yeah. And Dan also learns from David that Donna doesn't know anything about the money problems.
Right.
Back at the team help center, Pam and Kelly are talking about, you know, statistics about teens on the streets and which I'm sure were accurate for the time.
Probably, yeah.
Ages and how many kids are on the streets and all that stuff. And she says, you know, one day Erica's going to get into the wrong car with the wrong guy. And it's, you know, it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
But they have a whole bunch of people working to, like, they have, the police are looking for her. Social Security is, like, I don't know. They've got several organizations keeping an eye out for her. Pam cautions Kelly about going out on their own to look for her. She's like, right. I know the streets.
Yeah, Pam you don't knows know the rules. She does, yeah.
You don't know the rules of the streets. So if you find her, call me and I will help.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelly's like, well, that sounds great, but Brandon is kind of, you know, on his own little mission.
Yep.
Back at the newspaper, the male prostitute, do we know his name? Do we ever learn his name? This male prostitute?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. Anyway, he comes to see Brandon because Brandon gave him his card when they met before. And he says, you know, pay me $50. I'll take you to Erica. I know where she is. And as they're walking out, Brandon's like, why do you do it? Don't you worry, you'll end up dead. Like, what a tone deaf thing to ask. Sure. Like, surely he doesn't want to be doing this.
Right.
Like, well, I know Brandon, you love it at all, but
he's just gotta say what he thinks.
So on their way out, Kelly walks in and like and joins them. So she's gonna go with them. He takes them to this like very seedy hotel, and Erica is there sleeping on a mattress on the floor. And as soon as she sees Brandon and Kelly, she loses her mind.
Yeah, she's like, how'd you bring him here? Ah, you know, which I don't really get, but.
Yeah. Okay. So they're trying to convince Erica to go with them. She's very worried about Riggs finding her. She's worried that they're going to make her go to a shelter and then Riggs will find her in a shelter. But they said, you're not going to a shelter. You're coming back to our house. And she asked them to promise not to tell Dylan. And they don't promise not to tell Dylan.
No, they don't. They're just like, yeah, just come with us.
Yeah. So she does go with them. Back at the newspaper, Brandon comes back after dropping Kelly and Erica at the house. And Steve is just, you know, he's all in his head about this whole dad soccer thing. Game
yeah.
thing. And so he tells Brandon about it, and he's like, you know, I was supposed to be playing the field, like, I'm out of college, I was supposed to have a different girl every night, and now I'm, like, settling down with Carly. And he also mentions that they haven't had sex yet, but he thinks it's going to be happening soon.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, Steve is kind of inviting this with Zach. He's being very stepdaddy, as we've discussed. Sorry, I said daddy, but he is.
I was like, going to skip over it.
That's
but
a thing. No, it happened and we need to acknowledge it.
All right. David calls from the restaurant where he's meeting Everett, the loan shark, to tell Donna that he's going to be late for their dinner. And Donna is out shopping for lingerie.
Yeah.
So Donna goes to check out, and it is like such a 90s thing. This like she writes a check and then they put it through the little like check machine.
Yeah.
And it's the check doesn't clear. And she's very confused by this.
I can't believe I mean, I guess we should trust David's behavior to always be awful, I guess, but like I can't believe that he just let it go to this point. Didn't even say afterwards, hey, you know, nuts.
Yeah. You know, one time I worked the air show on a naval base, and we had to, like, if people wrote us, well, I was at a t-shirt stand, and if people wrote us checks for t-shirts, which they did, we had to, like, use the machine where you, like, put the check down, and then you, like, pull the thing over it and forth.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why would you buy a t-shirt with a check? It doesn't... I mean, this was like 2000. Well, this was like 2006 or seven, but still.
Yeah,
I mean,
your story makes less sense.
Okay, back at Carly's, Steve comes over and apologizes for being a jerk. And he says, you know, I don't know the future. I don't even know what I'm going to have for breakfast tomorrow, but I do know that I want you and Zach there. And Carly's like, well, Zach and I are a team. Like, you get one, you get both. And he's like, yes, this is what I want. I want both of you.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. I guess he's in.
All right. David is meeting with Everett at Eclipse Restaurant. Everett was over an hour late.
Yeah.
So David is like, I'm not ordering food. Like, let's just get this ball rolling.
I like that David's like, you don't care about me. You don't care about my business. It's like, yeah, loan shark. What do you think? Like,
what do you want here?
You're not meeting with an accountant. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So Everett lays out the terms. 50% interest a month.
Yeah.
So David's wild. Like, I need $10,000. And he's like, okay, so next month you'll owe me $15,000. How is that a good deal?
It's not. But I just don't think David is as, like, worst case scenario, he loses this business, I guess. You know what I mean? It's not.
Yeah.
It's just, the whole thing is maddening because they've given no reason for him to keep it such a secret. You know, Like it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So Donna is waiting for David at home and she opens a letter and she finds a check inside that he had like forged her name.
Mm-hmm.
Were these receipts? How did they do like, checks in the 90s?
They're like canceled checks. Like once the numbers are run and everything, like sometimes you would get the check back as kind of like a receipt.
Okay. You know? That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So anyway, she sees it and realizes that David forged her name.
Yeah.
Which Stupid. We knew she would. I don't know how he thought she wouldn't.
Yeah.
At the Walsh house, Steve and Carly are back from a date and he's like showing her his room, which I guess she's never been to before. Mm-hmm. And she's ready. Ready to get going, but he's like, maybe we should take it slow. And are you sure this is what you want? While she's like taking off his shirt.
Yep.
But yeah, they go for it. Back at a bar, Noah is he's drinking like different amounts of liquid out of bottles so he can make like a song with the bottles.
Yeah.
He's super drunk.
It's like the first bit of personality we've seen out of him. Yeah. So I can't.
And he starts fighting with the guy at the bar next to him, so the bartender calls the police. Back at the Walsh house, Brandon and Kelly are talking about Erica. Erica's, like, in the shower. So they talk very loudly about her, like, the house isn't small enough for her to hear.
I know.
And she's like, I think someone should stay home with her tomorrow, you know, just so she feels safe. And Kelly is being... I don't know. I don't understand Kelly here because she's like, you know, are we handling this right? Like, I don't feel safe. Maybe she should go to a shelter.
Yeah.
Maybe we should send Dylan's sister to a shelter.
I know.
Instead of letting her stay at our house.
Yeah.
Crazy. But anyway, Erica overhears them, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And as they're talking, Brandon gets a call that Noah has been arrested. So he goes to bail him out.
They're friends.
Yeah, they're friends. Brandon gets Noah back to his boat. And Noah, again, tells this crying story about how a year ago he killed his fiance because he was drunk driving. So if this was a year ago, what was the day that he told Valerie? That wasn't anything. That was just...
No, I don't think it was an anniversary. He told her because they, like... He kept pulling away from the relationship, and he was like, this is why. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, Brandon is like, wow, I had no idea. You know, that's terrible. And Noah also tells Brandon that when they were pestering him for information about his life, and he said he came from a wealthy family, and they thought he was joking. Mm-hmm. He was not joking.
No.
His, what are they, oil tycoons? His
pharmaceuticals?
I thought it was oil.
Maybe you're right. I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay. Well, anyway, he's like a millionaire. Like his inheritance has kicked in. He has millions of dollars.
Which would have been funny if they would have more successfully like made it the whole rich guy, poor guy thing with Valerie, which they just never quite landed on.
Yeah, I know. Brandon should be like, oh, well, if you would have told Valerie that forever ago, like she would have been in.
Right. Hunter, oil and chemical. So there you go.
Okay, cool. Noah asked Brandon not to tell anyone about his wealth. Mm-hmm. And Brandon agrees. At the Walsh house, Steve and Carly come downstairs after having fun in the bed. And they run into Valerie. There's a knock on the door, and it is the woman from the Peach Pit that Carly was talking to. Her name is Jody, and it's super awkward because Steve knows her, and Carly knows her. Valerie's just having a good time watching this Valerie's awkward interaction.
Yeah, let's talk. Let's do it.
Yeah. So Jody is there to tell Steve that she's pregnant and he's the father.
Woo.
This woman we've never seen before. Yeah. When did he date her?
Exactly.
We
that
don't
was
know.
The thing that I was, yeah, it was like the Claire thing. And then he hooked up with Valerie like in that season and clearly like wasn't with anyone. And then Carly, I don't like this. I don't like because it had to be like months ago, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So the next day at the Walsh house, Valerie says that she's going to stay with Erica for the day. And Erica's very annoyed about this, that, you know, she's going to. But Valerie's like, you know, we have a history together. We've been through some tough times together.
Mm-hmm.
So Brandon and Kelly leave. They're going to see Pam. I don't think they've told Erica that's what they're doing.
No, I don't think so.
They're going to see Pam. And Erica is like, you know, when you and Dylan came to Mexico and to get me from my mom and stepdad, and I was so happy to see you, you know, Valerie's like, yeah, and I'm happy to see you now. And she says, how could you be happy to see me when, you know, this is what I am now?
Yeah.
And Valerie tells her, you know, you've made bad choices, but it doesn't mean you're nothing. Like, you'll rise above the bad choices.
Right.
Get rid of your pimp, she says.
Yeah. It's just they act like Erica has been living in this like world of prostitution for like 25 years and she couldn't possibly. It's like just go back to Hawaii, you know? Like there's no. It doesn't make sense. The whole plot really bugs me.
Yeah. Valerie's pager goes off. And Erica says, saved by the beep.
Oh, almost, almost.
Oh. That had to be on purpose, right?
So probably, yeah.
So Valerie remembers, oh, I have an appointment on Rodeo Drive. Erica, are you going to be okay by yourself? And Erica's Valerie. Like, yeah, I'll be fine.
Valerie.
So as soon as Valerie leaves, Erica calls Ricky. Maybe this is the guy's name?
Maybe, yeah.
And tells him the address and to come on over.
Perfect.
There's lots of stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
At Donna and David's, Donna confronts David about the whole check thing. And she, I mean, she's very upset. She's like, you know, I loved you. I trusted you, but you're a liar. Like, where even were you last night? I don't know where you were because you're a liar. And she kicks him out. Basically, I like David's line about, you know, you put your faith in an anti-Semitic band and this is what happens to your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, she kicks him out and she was like, you know, if you just asked me for help, I would have helped you, but he didn't. Last scene back at the Walsh house, Pam and Kelly and Brandon arrive home to find the place just ransacked. The computer's gone. The TV's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is gone. And Kelly and Brandon are just shocked. They're like, why would she do this?
Mm-hmm.
And Pam says, because she really thinks like, Erica thinks that Riggs really is gonna, would try to like kill her if she tries to leave. So yeah, anyway, that's the episode.
Yeah. I was unhappy. Yeah. I was unhappy.
I was also unhappy. Because why, like, even if she followed this guy back to LA, he dumps her.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't she look up any of Dylan's friend group?
I know. Yeah.
Why, like, why, I don't know. Like, why wouldn't she, like, look them up and either try to go back to Hawaii or try to go? I mean, maybe we'll find more about how she fell into this in the next episode, but, like, it just seems like a crazy jump to go from my boyfriend dumped me. I guess I'm a prostitute.
I guess I'll be a teen prostitute. Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing, too, where I don't know what they're quite saying about Iris, because Kelly was like, oh, you're trying to call your stepmother, and she's like, oh, she hasn't called back yet, and Kelly's like, well, no, but she will. Like, are we saying Iris is, like, dropping the ball also? I don't know.
Like, even if she just went to the Peach Pit and Nat was there, like, Nat would have helped her.
I know.
It's such a crazy leap.
It's certainly not, like, a fun story either. You know what I mean? Like, to have Erica pop back in could be kind of fun, but I don't know why they felt like this story was the one to go with. It's dark, and it really doesn't make sense with the Erica that we spent all that time with, you know? Mm-mm. Like, obviously, it's a kid with trauma, you know, dead dad, like, grifter mom, you know, like, random quasi-stepmom that she's living with. Like, certainly. But, like, I just don't see it going in this direction. And there were no hints of it, you know? Like, nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's just...
I think they're just going for a shock and awe.
Yeah, it's a retcon for, like, the sake of drama. And it doesn't land because it's so forced. So, I guess that's my verdict. I think it sucks. Yeah. I don't like it. I don't like anything that happened in this episode.
Yeah, so. I don't either. Like,
I guess
David
Steve, Harley,
making horrible decisions again.
Yeah.
Like, fine, Steven. But I thought we were already at this level with Steve and Carly. So to me, it was like, okay, like now you're where I already thought you were.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, my 90210 snap is the lady showing up being like, I'm pregnant and you're the father. That's my snap. What about you?
I'll give it to that too.
Okay.
I guess.
All right. Good times. Okay, well, you can join us next time for Season 8, Episode 10. Child of the Night is the episode title. Kendra,
stop putting child in these
child
titles.
Child of the Night. Until then, you can catch me every other week on the Sindorian Life, a Star Wars podcast right here on the Radio Meanwhile Network. We're about to dive into the droids comic books, which will be fun. We're having a good time. What about you, Kendra?
I'm Miss Musicbox 91 online, and I am the co-host of 90s Music Got Me Like, where we talk 90s music.
Nice. Okay, well, maybe next week will be better. I don't know.
Maybe.
Okay.
Not tuned. Here we go.
Here we go.